Not a 100-meter dash, but a marathon. Billy Graham said, "Mass crusades in which I believe and to which I have committed my life will never finish the Great Commission, but a one-by-one ministry will." In October of 1996, I was privileged to be a part of a team of Promise Keepers staff who were charged with traveling across each one of the Hawaiian Islands over a 13-day period. We were to contact churches, pastors, and men about attending the Promise Keepers Conference to be held in January of the following year in Honolulu. While we were on this whirlwind tour of the islands, something unique happened to me while I was on the Big Island. As we were traveling from Hilo to Kona, we literally found ourselves right in the middle of the Ironman Triathlon, which is held annually in Kona. The Ironman, of course, is one of the most physically grueling events in the entire world. Drawing 1,500 participants, both male and female, from around the world, it pits competitors in three back-to-back tests of endurance: a 2.5-mile ocean swim, a 112-mile bicycle race along the road and through sweltering lava beds, and then a 26.2-mile marathon run to top it all off. The upper tier of finishers completes this astounding triathlon in 9 to 12 hours, while some finish in 18 to 22 hours, nearly a full day of constant physical activity. It's a sight simply to behold, especially when you consider the amount of training that each participant had to go through before he or she could even attempt such grueling exercise. The disciples' life is a little like that. Daily disciples experience ongoing training and action, training and action. They constantly rethink and rearrange their priorities. They are prepared and persevering. But we don't become discipled Christians through any single encounter, any more than those athletes could prepare for the Ironman in one training session. The disciples' life starts one person at a time, one family at a time, one church at a time, one community at a time, and then one nation at a time. The legacy Christ left with his disciples is an ongoing one, to the glory of God. What a legacy he has left us. By any measuring standard, Jesus' legacy stands alone. As Philip Yancey observed, "You can gauge the size of a ship that has passed out of sight by the huge wake it leaves behind." Christ began with 12 men. Today, millions know his name. We can sit back and marvel at this, but we also need to realize that this process took time and a great deal of intentional effort. Will we make the same commitment today? Do we have a plan? Even as I came to work today, I had to take a specific path across various avenues, streets, and freeways to get to my workplace. I don't wander back and forth on my way to work. I have a sense of direction. I know I need to follow a certain path if I'm going to end up where I should. In the same way, there are no shortcuts or quick fixes to the process of disciplehood. Instead, it's a daily lifestyle. In the body of Christ, sometimes in our zeal to evangelize, the message of personal ongoing discipleship gets lost. In our hurry-up world, we like things to be instant, but this sort of thinking just doesn't apply to the kingdom of God. Theologian A.W. Tozer sums it up well. "Instant Christianity tends to make the faith act terminal, and so smothers the desire for spiritual advance. It fails to understand the true nature of the Christian life, which is not static, but dynamic and expanding. It overlooks the fact that a new Christian is a living organism, as certainly as a new baby is, and must have nourishment and exercise to assure normal growth. It does not consider that the act of faith in Christ sets up a personal relationship between two intelligent moral beings, God and the reconciled man, and no single encounter between God and a creature made in his image could ever be sufficient to establish an intimate friendship between them. Undue preoccupation with the initial act of believing has created in some a psychology of contentment, or at least of non-expectation. To many, it has imparted a mood of disappointment with the Christian faith. God seems too far away, the world is too near, and the flesh too powerful to resist. Others are glad to accept the assurance of automatic blessedness. It relieves them of the need to watch and fight and pray, and sets them free to enjoy this world while awaiting the next." Perhaps the best way to stay active in the disciples' daily marathon is to have an end goal always in mind. A good way to focus here is to think about what you would like to see written as your epitaph. If we knew our lives would end today, what would we want, or what could we expect, our family or friends to engrave on our headstones? We must take a good look at ourselves and ask, "Have I lived up to and accomplished what God commissioned me to do?" An epitaph is like a summary statement at the end of our lives. How could we condense our entire life into a single statement on a gravestone? It's like the personal vision statement we have discussed, only written from hindsight. I have thought about this, and I would want my gravestone to say, "He loved God and was a discipler of others." If that statement is characteristic of my life and a true representation of my spiritual walk and who I was, then I believe I could assess my life as effective, especially in God's eyes, although maybe not the world's. My vision for my life is to make this epitaph a true one. You may want your epitaph to read differently. It may be a variation of mine, but you must seek to set the course of your life accordingly. Whatever we do, whatever shape our visions for our lives takes, we are all called to run the disciples' daily marathon in such a way as to get the prize, to get a crown that will last forever. 1 Corinthians 9:24b and 25. It's not about words on a piece of stone. It's about what kind of life you are living today. Do you choose to be a daily disciple?